Welcome to this episode of Strong Kind Podcast. This episode is with Lucas Hardy. Lucas is also known as Range of Strength on most social media platforms. This is a really awesome discussion on how he got into more flexibility and range of motion training, and ultimately how it's improved how he feels as a lifter. After being a competitive power lifter, he just saw that there were things he could improve, and he also saw that stretching was something that had become very watered down over the years, and working on range of motion as part of an overarchingly good strength and conditioning program is something that kind of became a lost art. And Lucas has been a big part of making stretching relevant again. And I'm on board. He kind of convinced me to do a little bit more static and range of motion oriented activities in my training. Not that I haven't been doing those things to some extent, but he has some good arguments, and I've already incorporated a few things that have been like, yeah, this feels good. I'm gonna keep doing this. So incredible talk with Lucas. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for being here. So I just want to jump in and ask you, like, what got you into exploring? Well, what got you into training? It's probably better to just start with what, like, why do you care about training? I like that better than starting with the range of motions, like range of strengths.
Yeah, for sure. I like going back a little further too. I mean, I played sports growing up. I was always into some physical activity. I liked sports more than training. I was kind of like the kid at the dryland sessions that just didn't like doing the extra stuff. But I ended up blowing my knee out in high school playing rugby. And that led me to the gym. It was like all I could do. I wasn't able to play sports. Knee rehab process is quite thorough. And that just kind of built the love for it. That's all I could do during that graduating year was go to the gym and spend a lot of time there. And as I graduated high school and I was just trying to figure stuff out, I was just kept going to the gym. Just as like making gains. I fell in love with powerlifting and strength sports. It was like a lot more favorable to me. Like I'm in a very small town in rural Nova Scotia, where if you are going to the gym, you're either doing one of two things, your bodybuilding or your powerlifting. So the chalk dusted corner was where I kind of found myself.
Yeah.
And I ended up competing in powerlifting for quite some time. Injury led me into like really getting into the gym. And then I found a passion for strength training. And then through that, I like went to school for exercise science. I got into personal training, just really fell in love with it. And it's evolved a lot over the years. And that's also been related to injuries, because powerlifting at a high level, you're putting yourself in a situation where that kind of stuff can certainly happen. And you're also, you start kind of sacrificing a lot of things when it comes to, you know, having a balanced approach to training. And a lot of those injuries led me to like trying to just get my body right, get my body doing the things I wanted it to do, moving better. We started a family, so little ones running around, and I was like, I got to be able to keep up with these little shit arses.
Yeah. How old do you have multiple kids?
Yeah, I have three kids. My oldest is 15 and the twins are 13 now.
So yeah, like, so I just have a 4-month old. My wife is like literally like waking him up as I was like finishing breakfast. I'm like, gosh. But man, I think that changes like your perspective on like, dude, it's like lifting. And I don't want to make, and we'll get into this, because like, I think how you view training at certain aspects of your life is like, especially if you're surrounded by it, like this is what you have to do. Right.
Yeah.
And then everybody, like, you know, in a lot of like, there's a powerlifting gym not very far from me. And like the times that I've gone in there, I train in my garage just because it's really convenient. And I like training alone. I like training with other people, but I really like training alone, to be honest. Yeah. Which is,
these days,
there's pros and cons, right? Like it'd be nice to have a good training partner and whatnot, but I went to that gym and like everybody's just talking about how they hurt all the fucking time. I'm like, yeah. All right, so you know, can we switch things up? And And then it's also just like this dogma. It's kind of the dogma of stuff, but like, okay, so I want to go back to this. What position did you play in rugby?
I was a flanker.
Dude, I was a flanker too. All right, let's go. Rugby's so fun. I went back and tried to play rugby at 34 after 13 years off. And I was so much stronger, and that was really beneficial, but I just kept popping calves, and like I was miserable because I just couldn't move. Like, I was stronger and I could tackle people better, but I just didn't move the way I did when I was relatively young. And it was because I wasn't doing athletic shit for 15 years, right?
There's a lot of those positions you get exposed to, right, that you just don't really you don't think of preparing for in a lot of ways. And you know, I've experienced that too, where it's like, go out and do some stuff that you would have not thought twice about when you were younger. And then it's like, oh shit, like I have to start considering, you know, what I might want to do a little differently than just crashing and banging with the weights.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about just like your approach. How would you say your approach has evolved? Like, you know, I'm literally trying to like piece together like a novel that's about, have you ever read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
No.
So like, it's a goofy book it's a really good philosophical book by Robert Persig. And, but like, it's about kind of like an inquiry into like a man's values. Right. And like lifting is such a, like my first exposure to the gym, I like was 13 years old and I thought I was going to be like strong. Like in my head, I'm like, you're going to be strong. Like, and then I just got buried under like, you know, 75 pound bench presses or whatever. And like, and I also just didn't really move very well. So I felt like, oh fuck, you suck at this. And yeah. I, instead of like just leaning into it, because I honestly just don't think I had like the right kind of mentors to be like, dude, no, you just squat to a box for a while. Like, it's okay. Like, and you're not going to be good at this stuff right away. And like, yeah, you have some buddies that they're picking it up pretty fast, but like those guys are also like, they picked up pretty much everything athletic fast. And like, it's not that you can't do this. You're just going to have to like learn a little bit more. But then it like, so then I was like, ah, man. And then I just got into running because I could just go run. And I was like, that was what I could do. I could suffer. And I got pretty fast at 18 years old or 17 years old. And then I got into CrossFit. And then I'm like, oh shit, you're not strong enough. So you need to do like the 5x5 or the Mark Ribitoe system. And then you need to drink a bunch of milk. Right. So there's just all these like pathways people go down and they think they've found the freaking solution. Like, what was yours like? Does that make sense?
Oh, it does for sure. And I think it's that you said it right. And like when you first tried to get into strength training and you felt bad that you weren't at some certain level or you weren't hitting certain standards. And I think that's why a lot of us avoid certain things or think some things are just very genetic, and they are to a certain extent. But, you know, I avoided a lot of things like flexibility because of that. And I was like, well, that's just like some genetic waste of time thing. Like I'm just not built for that, you know. And then you go through this, all these different waves of injuries and different, you know, processes of training, and you're just like, well, I haven't really tried it, right? And you start finding new ways of approaching it. And it was, for me, it was just through that transformation of like trying to get in better shape. I was more drawn to gymnastics because I also, for those same reasons, avoided a lot of those things because I was bad at it. So I was like, well, you know, if I really go in and try to break this thing down and try to understand it, how could this help me? Not that I, you know, am built to do things at a very high level on the rings like you see at the Olympics, but these basic foundational qualities that they work at when they're, you know, young and they build up to certain conditioning levels. And this exposed me to new ways of training, range of motion, and developing flexibility, where I was like, well, this is possibly what I think more people need. And as a coach, and I don't know how long you've been doing this for now or been involved in, you know, the industry and its evolution of mobility, it's still very new. It's still very like we're trying to figure it out and see like, you know, what we're going to use it for, which also goes through this period of very watered down approach where we're just doing a bunch of random things without being able to evaluate if it's useful, if it's helping, what it's helping us towards, as with most new things in fitness. So I went through all that and it was all like a waste of time for me. But as I started going through this process of developing physical skills that required flexibility, you start kind of, you know, having these light bulb moments where you're like, oh, like we could be thinking about developing programming that moves people towards flexibility-based skills that could help them in everyday life or help them get back on the wagon when it comes to powerlifting or playing rugby or, you know, thinking about how to move better. So I think just as a coach and for my own learning, it was going through that process of like, you know, what's worth using, like, you know, what's kind of a waste of time here and how can I narrow this down, help myself and help more people in that regard. And I think too, with just a passion of strength training and improving my flexibility, a lot of people just started coming to me for that. Like as my flexibility started improving, it was like a realization of how much that is needed for a lot of individuals. Like, how are you actually improving your flexibility? Like, I didn't think that was something you could do. So there's, you know, an evolution of it in a lot of different ways. But as I started having this transformation process, it was a realization of like how I could help people differently than I had done in the past. And that's kind of where we see the evolution of range of strength now. It's still a very heavy meathead component to training because I do love that aspect of it, but the value in like, what can we do to keep moving better so we can keep doing the cool shit we love doing, I think is a better message than the broken and, you know, trying to fix yourself kind of mentality, which you deal with a lot of those clients, as I think I know you do, which is why I connect with a lot of your work as well too. And it's like, they end up kind of trapping themselves in this, like, I need to fix myself before I can do anything.
Yeah.
This endless loop of, you know,
yeah,
feeling trapped.
Yeah. You hit on a bunch of good stuff there. Like, and there's like a couple big points. The last piece is like, oh man, I think, what was I thinking about this morning? It was just like the pervasive narrative throughout probably history is that like the human body is like beyond understanding for like a normal person. So like you have to find like the guru to like the guru's got the magic sauce, right? And the guru fixes you. And that's like that's been the prevailing narrative for so long. And, you know, it's not that it's not complicated. It's not that we're not a complex system, right? But complex systems are still like rooted, especially the human body is rooted in like, you know, physics. And I'm not saying you need to be like, my understanding of physics, man, is like pretty, you know, elementary, but like, hey, okay, we got force times mass acceleration. If we're going to call strength production force, we got mass and acceleration we need to like start to play around with, right? Like, or just impulse. Like I've been playing around a lot with these, like I've been taking the stuff I learned in physics and then we kind of touched on in physical therapy at school. And I'm just like, okay, apply that. And I like really get like lever arms and like moment arms and how force is being manipulated. Like that stuff started to make sense when I like started to just look at like, oh shit, like, okay, so where's the, like when you're doing a Romanian deadlift, where's the load and what's the lever arm, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. I get that. That's why this works your glutes and your hamstrings. Right. But I think it's, and also just so like going back to like mobility is something that like I was first exposed to like mobility. It was like Kelly Starrett, you know, 2010. And honestly, yeah, looking back at that, I was like that stuff set me back 5 years because it wasn't what, and I look at what you're doing, and I'm like, this shit looks like it sucks. Like in like in the way that's going to change you in like in, yeah, whereas like a lot of the stuff from like mobility WOD was kind of like there was some aspects where it's like you're putting some time under tension in and you're learning to relax and doing some maybe some contract relax, but a lot of it was like kind of gimmicky stuff that physical therapists like think that they're doing, you know, when it's not really doing that much, right? So like, and I also just see a lot of people be like, well, mobility is the solution. Well, like, what the hell does that mean? Right. Like,
so, that's what a lot of people are confused, right?
Yeah. Like,
what do you even mean? Like, how are we defining this?
And what would, so like, give your definition? Cause I kind of go like physical qualities, right?
Yeah.
Strength. So force production, right? Speed, the ability to move quickly, endurance, flexibility, mobility is like one of those physical qualities, right? Hypertrophy, like muscular growth. Like I think I've seen that framework of like improve your physical qualities. And that makes sense for me. Like that's what training's about. If you improve those physical qualities, you're probably on the right track, right?
Yeah.
Like the mobility, flexibility. And I think you also probably have a good segue into like, how does that help you with the other ones? Because I think they're all complementary too, right?
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the things for me was also looking at like some of the big ones that we haven't really found a solution for, right? Like touching your toes is kind of like this magic trick. You know, you get people saying like, oh, if you do this hip mobility exercise, you can touch your toes. Okay, maybe for a split second, but like, how are we actually defining flexibility and how are we measuring the qualities of improvement? Are we going to expect this person to do some kind of like, you know, quick eye twitchy thing and be able to magically touch their toes every day? And is that a real thing where it's, that's going to last and stand the test of strength and those qualities we want in an end range? So that's a big one, right? Like the ability to fold forward, understand how you're actually managing your center of mass, how your hips are moving, how your spine is moving. And this is where a lot of it lies anyway, I think, in terms of like helping someone develop ability qualities is teaching them how to move. So rather than doing all these randomized exercises all the time and assuming that that's just going to help us move better, I think there's way more value in that integrated approach where it's like, well, this is how you actually fold, right? So finding best approaches for that, how the hips and spine move together when you're getting down there. And when you can get better at teaching people these qualities of movement, they can have a lot of just breakthroughs from that. And then if you're removing a lot of the fluff, it's like, listen, we just got to keep focusing on moving and folding forward in this way consistently over time, spending time in the stretch, loading these patterns, and you get better. So it's just like, to me, it's like no different than any other, strength training quality. We teach someone how to squat, we load the pattern, they get better at it, they get stronger at it. And these flexibility shapes that people have a lot of trouble with. And then you look at the folding quality of like folding forward, the posterior chain flexibility. So then as a coach that has a background in more specifically to mobility, you can think about how you might organize your training a bit better. You know, if I'm trying to cut a lot of this fluff out, I'm saying, okay, well, I'm taking a session that's built around this development of this forward fold, and we can actually isolate qualities and create some measurable outcomes from it. That's been a big one, right? Is like really trying to identify shapes and qualities that aren't getting addressed or just haven't actually been put together for people in a way where there's like a long-term outcome. Long-term improvement. Qualities like training for splits taught me more about flexibility training than anything. And I would say the same about powerlifting. Like powerlifting competitively and training at a higher level, or even just running those old school programs that teach you about basic periodization, putting more weight on the bar and those sort of things. Like, you know, for a lot of people new to it, that's the go-to because it teaches you how to strength train, how to progressively overload, like all these basic qualities. Training for splits taught me a lot about that, about shape change, progressions and regressions for lower limb outer range positions. So even just looking at split qualities, right? Like what are they? It's like you have this long stance where one leg is in front, one leg's in back. And you also have like the Van Damme legs are split open. Two very vulnerable, undertrained positions for most human beings. How do you create entry points for that kind of stuff where we can start thinking about developing strength and flexibility in the hips, the hamstrings, and the adductors? Where, you know, like for me, that's kind of a baseline entry point for a lot of people is just understanding how the hips move and how to train and stretch these areas, how they can complement your lower body flexibility with everything else you're doing, but then some measurable kind of progression towards that too, where you might not go for the splits, but we can develop some kind of standardization to say, this is a worthy strength in a wide stance position to have, right? Like where maybe it's the hips coming in line parallel to the knees for with using a certain weight in your hand. I like 50% kind of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like those are some big ones to identify. Like upper body is another one where super watered down, right? And it's like, what's the outcome here for the upper body? Like, I still like strength training movements, like teaching somebody to develop a strong overhead press, right? Like, that is, in my opinion, a good benchmark for mobility. So how do we kind of work around that or set some standards where we see some improvements in shape change in that? Oftentimes I find there's a big imbalance with this pressing action and the hanging work. So I do like hanging as a loaded stretch, progressing it. You know, a lot of people really categorize that as like, you know, just train your pull up, but learning how to spend time in the stretch position, loading that as well. Again, learning those qualities of like actually positioning the body in the way where it gets more outcome from a stretch. So teaching stretching in general is kind of a lost art.
Yeah.
And like, I really focus on this unconventional approach to training, but like flexibility training is unconventional in itself. It's old school. People don't use the OG stuff that's always been around and worked well. And you just got to learn how to coach it and prescribe it better. And even just saying that, like a lot of people, like, you know, kind of blows their mind. Like, what are you talking about prescribing a stretch? Like, don't you just stretch? It's like, no, like you have to actually teach someone how to stretch, sensations they should be feeling, contractions, even just knowing that we're actually loading tissue in a stretch, which is generally a newer train of thought now for everyone, right? Yeah. It's like, it's all passive. It's like, well, you're never really passive. And we can even just start thinking about now coming back to stretching as a lower entry point to loading tissue, potentially if someone's injured or if they actually can't get in that range of motion we're trying to get them in. So we can start loading tissue in that position. So I think for a lot of people, like, I think if you can get and really hone in on the educational side of it at the start and actually educate your clients instead of withholding information from them, like you have all the secrets and you're just prescribing them random things, that's where I see the biggest growth with the people I work with, is like, I can just educate them on some measurable outcomes to developing flexibility, get them understanding how their body moves and feels, and kind of getting over this stress of like needing to do all these exercises to be fixed. That often does a lot.
Yeah.
Just almost like that mental side of it more than anything.
Dude, I like, you kind of touched on, because so there's always, what happened is stretching got super watered down, right? Yeah. And you said it multiple times. I think even training got watered down, right? Like, and you mentioned some like old school training methodologies, and like, you know, even just looking at like something like the Jefferson curl, like, what did we do there? Oh, somebody hurt their back bending over, and it just sent waves of like ripples through the medical community that bending your spine was bad. And then people associate like these movements and stuff with pain, and it's like, no, it's just like the humans are like, I'm watching my 4 month old, like literally learn via discomfort, right? Like, hey, we put him in prone on his belly, and he's like, ah, like he's just pissed off for 5 minutes while, but he's like, that's how he's developing strength, right? And you do that to an adult and they're like, they won't do 5 minutes of anything. Right. And so it's, and then even, yeah, like, you know, the splits progression you talk about, it's like, yeah, prescribing this, that's kind of the biggest thing that I think, you know, I really am trying to change the narrative. Like, I went into physical therapy because I was a coach who thought that like, if I had this skill set where I had like magic hands, that would be the thing. Right. And then I'm like, oh shit, this isn't real. And I didn't even want to do that. I didn't want to give people massages, or, you know, and people will say there's a lot more to it than that. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, do you ever watch The Office? Are you an Office fan ever?
I watch it too much.
There's the episode where Phyllis hurts her back, and Dwight takes her, and like he like puts his hands on her, and he like basically does what he would do to help a horse. And it's like, well, you're just calming a person down, right? And so much of training is learning. I think it, like, lifting is learning to manage. Like, I think you have to slow your mind down while you're doing hard shit. Right. Even the Olympic lifts, I have to like, I'm like slowing my mind down so that I can actually hit positions and move with force. Right. Yeah. And until that kind of clicked, it's like, dude, you have to think, like, you have to think while you're doing this. Doesn't mean eventually we want it to be relatively reactive and like when you do, like, you know, in a powerlifting meet, you're, I don't remember like any of the squats I ever did. You know, I was just like, I did this. Thank you. Like, because that went, because you're just hoping, you know, you're, if it goes well, it's automatic. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it just got so watered down, and the ability to prescribe this stuff, but it also kind of has to, I think what's cool about what you're doing is like, you're showing people, you probably need more like before and after. Maybe you've probably done that, but like, you need to redo your before and after, because it's like, oh shit, like this guy wasn't naturally flexible, right?
Yeah.
Or quote unquote. And let's say you need to do more for before and after, but like, that is the cool part about it, is like, holy shit, you can do the splits now, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, how it's kind of how these other things like inform like your lifting, right? Like, man, I, my squats just feel better after doing that, that range of motion training, right? And like, that's the thing. What would you say is the biggest, what is it? Is it the time component? Is it the knowing what to do? What do you think is the struggle? Because that is kind of the thing with stretching, is like, there is a time under tension component that like you like, and it's the same thing with everything else. As I'm saying this, I'm kind of realizing, well, like if you're doing a set of 10 squats, like there's a fuck, it's, that kind of sucks too. Right. But like, what is the thing that's the big detractor for people?
Time is definitely the big one. Enjoying the training is a big one. No one's going to do something they don't enjoy. That's just the reality of it, right? Is like, I've probably spent more time over the years trying to ensure that at least at my basic entry level programming for development of flexibility is something that someone actually completes.
Yeah. Right?
So minimal effective dose is important. Movements that, you know, people enjoy. So, I mean, over the years, being more focused in this area of training, been over 10 years now, I have a lot of like anecdotal stuff that I've trialed and erred with a lot of people where I can say, okay, well, this is going to be a better starting point for someone who's new, and you kind of have developed those answers over time. But certainly that's like, I know from just even years of when, like you were saying, when mobility first started kind of coming out and it was a thing, and we were all kind of playing with it and prescribing it and trying to figure out if it was worth using. One of the main reasons why it wasn't worth using all the time is because no one enjoyed it. No one knew what we were doing. It took up a lot of time. You have like an hour tops. It's like, we're not going to spend 30 minutes limbering up, right?
Yeah.
So just really breaking it down to the meat and potatoes, and like a lot of people who are limited, and even at the start too, just generally a lot of people don't enjoy stretching. So why am I going to force someone to hold a long, boring stretch that they hate doing at the start, when I know I can get a similar outcome with some of these flexibility supersets that I talk about with this inner set stretching approach? So then we get into like, you're actually conditioning and training, and oh, the training was hard. I was sweating. It feels good. I'm actually moving. I'm getting a good workout in, and it's not taking as much time. And then you can, if you get that buy-in at the start of the session, someone's moving better, they're hitting a good strength stimulus, and now their positions are more open. Okay, I can chuck in one or two long static stretches here, and it's more enjoyable because now we're feeling more open. We feel like we've had a good session. So I think management of, and using a lot of critical thinking here, is where a lot of coaches mess up when it comes to getting into mobility, because you take some mobility set certs, you know, as it goes or whatever, and it's all very like, has to be done this way, and you get kind of caught up in this like, oh, if I don't do it that way, it's not going to work. And you feel really constricted to some specific approach to stretching. And I just look at it the same way I do strength training. Like, I'm not going to have someone come in the gym and say, you have to do 10 reps of a barbell squat with this much weight or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk them through the process and evaluate their feeling, like how they're feeling and how they're moving, and probably just make changes on the fly. So I think we can, if we just got better at doing that when it came to mobility and flexibility development, that's just a huge win there. Like, if you just kind of knew that it was okay to do whatever and like use some of these principles rather than feel like it has to be this way than not. And a lot of people get obsessed with those details. How long should I hold a stretch for? You know, and if you're not, I don't like holding it that long, so I guess it's like never something I can do. And it's like, well, it's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. That the detail obsession that like the, I don't know if that's ever not been that way, right? But I think one of the best mindset shifts that I've made with training is like, what stimulus am I trying to get and how many ways can I try to get that? And like letting it be a little bit more exploratory. Right. And also just like, just take the freaking pressure off of any one session being like the, I don't know about you, but I feel like for like years, I was like, this is the session that's going to like break it open for me. And if in the, you know, and then it's every, you know, I'm going to reach the top of the mountain and I'm going to be good. And it's like, dude, that's not what this is for. Right. This is literally just like, it's just like your maintenance. It's like your it's your physical practice. So that I'm listening to this book on like neuroscience. It's like, it's just it's Rewired, but I think her name's like Nicole Vignola. And it's just a lot of tactics for like managing your mind. And, you know, she, one of the things she said is like, you know, you're the mind muscle connection. And I think this is what people do. You should want to know more, right? It's like, exercise is good for me. Well, why? But it's like literally like movement like cleanses your system, right? Like hard, challenging movement like cleanses you. And it's kind of crazy because that's kind of what you feel like. Whenever, like yesterday, a long day, me and my wife went out for dinner. We took our little boy and we went out for dinner. And so I didn't really train till like 8 o'clock, right? And I did not want to go and do it. And but I, as soon as I'm like 5 to 10 minutes in, I'm like, all right. And like, then when I was done, I'm like, I feel so freaking good. Right. And one of the things about like, just whether it be like challenging motion that, you know, is maybe not static holds, but like doing Jefferson deadlifts or rotational, like a big thing that I've incorporated more of, just from following you, is just like more seated rotational trunk work, just like doing a bunch of reps of that stuff. And it's like, damn, like this, cause like, I just don't move that way during the day. Right.
Yeah.
It's so easy to not move those ways. So what would be like, I mean, and I know you do this on your, in your program and on your website, like, and people please go check that out. And near the end here, we'll pitch that. But like, what are the practical things, you know, somebody comes to you and like, okay, this is the why, but then like, what are the few hows, what are the things to think about?
Wide and long stance positions in the lower body, like learning how to do that safely, how to train it, how to train those qualities, super important. And again, it's nice the way you said, like, you're doing the rotational stuff more because you're like, you realize it's something that you're not doing. And I think that's where you can really hit the nail on the head with a lot of this mobility stuff. Is just like, what are you not doing?
Yeah.
Right? Most traditional programs for strength are good mobility programs. They're just missing a few things. And it comes also from like years of the industry telling us that it's not safe to do certain movements or it's not safe to move this way. So this whole proximal mobility of the spine and of the trunk, that's a big component. So that's one of them, right? How do I move my trunk and spine? How do I bend? How do I twist? So we can break that down. I mean, I do like the introductory progressions for a back bridge. It just makes it very easy, depending on like the background you've learned it from, but learning qualities of the back bridge is a good way to start developing spine strength and flexibility and extension. You're now addressing flexibility of your abdominal wall and your trunk. And that's just like an unheard of, no one talks about that. It's all been stiffness, stiffness and stability. That's what we've been taught over the years. Don't move. And it's like, well, what if we moved?
I'm built to move. It's a great question, Mike, right? What if we slowly started to move and added strength and speed over time?
Yeah. So, I mean, the spine is a big one because teaching people that trunk flexibility component, you start opening up their abdominal wall, you start teaching the fold forward. Like, that's huge. When someone starts having those breakthroughs there, if they're learning long, wide stance qualities, they're getting lower body flexibility development. So with the spine, it's almost like a waterfall effect. Things kind of start all helping each other out, learning how to hang, you know, how to, you know, move the shoulders overhead and be in these loaded, lengthened positions overhead that stretch out the scapula and the lats and these sort of things, but at a higher intensity, because again, the shoulder mobility stuff is watered down, you know,
yeah,
high water down sometimes because I love exploring and trying new things. But usually what I'm doing is taking a lot of the watered down stuff and trying to figure out how to load it, how to add more intensity to it. And that's the one, right? Is like, I think a lot of people can take out a lot of the fluff stuff if they just started training their hangs more intensely. So like, I even have some of my clients just doing heavy loaded hangs, like a weight belt, at the end of sessions. And you're like, the shape change you see, and you see it at the start, right? It's like, you try to get someone to hang from a bar and they can hold on to that for a while, but look at the shape. Like, the lats just aren't moving. The scap doesn't move. The arms, the elbows won't even lock. So, I mean, that's just the shape, the stretch position. We start holding it. You're actually putting time under tension into it, and you're accumulating some strength there. All of a sudden it starts to change. It's like, why would I do so many other things if this takes care of a lot of it? So, and there's a lot of, you know, opportunities open up when you start hanging, and your shoulders are designed to hang and move around. So it's, you know, it can be very like freeing for someone to now have that ability and like say like, oh, I feel like I can have some freedom here to move my arms overhead and not feel like my shoulders are going to explode. And even exposing people to, you know, internal rotation to the shoulder, because again, that whole impingement world has created all this fear. No one's doing lateral raises anymore. It's like, that's been a staple exercise for hundreds of years. No one moves their shoulder out this way anymore because someone said it's not safe. You know, meanwhile, now your shoulders feel like shit regardless. So,
yeah. Yeah, they feel like shit. So let's just like, you know, let's actually start to. I think that's one of the tricky things about like the narrative of like, oh, there's we've taken biomechanics and we haven't applied it to like an organic system, right? It's just like, oh, this is how the joint moves. Well, the joint moves like shit when there's not the range of motion. Like, you know, there's a joint capsule, right? But there's also just muscle that doesn't have very good length and that doesn't have the person is just, and then there's a nervous system that's basically super guarded about positions that it's not been exposed to, right? And then there's a load tolerance to the position, right? So it's like, we just reduce stuff, right? We just like, oh, this is what's wrong. Yeah. I would love to keep talking. I have like I have to bounce. I have like not a random commitment, but I do want to bring you back sometime, and I want to get more into like how your range of motion training has like benefited your strength training and your longevity, because those are big topics. The one thing that you've changed my mind. It's not that you've changed my mind on it. My mind has been changing on it, but I was like, oh, stretching's not going to fix anything. Well, that's kind of the nature of everything, right? Like a strength training is not going to fix your shit, right?
Yeah. Nothing
really sprinting isn't going to, like, it's figuring out how to piece this stuff together, right?
Yeah.
And how would you say, like, what do you say to people about like range of motion training? I think is like very important. And I think you're doing a good job of, but like, what are like, I guess for me, it's always like, well, what the hell are your goals? Right. What do you want to be able to do? I honestly think this, most people don't really know what they want. Right. They're just kind of bouncing around from like fitness trend to fitness trend. Like, and I'm like, what we really got to get after is like what you want. But like somebody comes to you and they're like, I want to be strong, but I want to be able to play, like, let's say rugby. Like, okay, what does your training program look like then? Like bare bones.
Yeah. I mean, I do hit some basic qualities. Like, I think movement assessment is still a good thing. I don't think it has to be as thorough and like, oh, you're broken, kind of like used in that way.
Yeah.
But again, I'll run people through some movements, and I think, everyone should be able to touch their toes. What's your hang look like? How can you even move your spine and bend your back? What happens when we open the legs up? Like, is your nervous system in shock? And like, do you actually understand the hip qualities that need to happen here? So just a little basic assessment that way, and make sure that I like to make sure people are hitting certain qualities, which is often easy for someone in a rugby training scenario. Like I worked with a hockey player this summer, and it wasn't like I went in and said, we have to abandon all training. It was like, he kept doing his usual off season conditioning and strength work. And I just came in and kind of injected some of these movements that would bring these qualities of flexibility up that he's never had before, which that was the issue, is he's never trained those qualities hard enough to get an outcome.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, we don't have to, like, if anything, I removed a lot of bullshit from his training. He was doing hour long mobility sessions and there was no outcome. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
So like a lot of times for those individuals, that's the unfortunate thing for those athletes is that they're training at such a high level and the sport has such high impact. It's like they need access to those movements, but they don't need to stray away from what already works in terms of getting them strong and building up the system. Yeah. So I wouldn't do much. Like I would just make sure that they're hitting certain baseline standards. And the thing about flexibility development is once you obtain it, it's easy to maintain. And that's the opposite of strength, right?
Yeah.
If you stop strength training or you're not training your strength at a certain level, you start to lose some strength.
Yeah.
But flexibility, it's something that stays with you. Like once you develop it right, you get a good baseline of even basic things like touching your toes and just being able to be in big stance positions, like that stuff will stay with you. It's very easy to maintain. It won't interfere with a lot of other programming variables. So that's kind of where I try to come in and help people the most that way. So, you know, a rugby player like that, like not much has to change. We just probably do need to make some time at the start and then figure out how to maintain those qualities once they've been achieved.
Yeah. I love that. So for me, it's pretty much what are you doing excessively and what are you not doing that I think could be beneficial? And let's try to inject those things. I think that's a really good way to, and how does it look, you know, like how, like, and not like, how does it look in a nocebic scare the crap out of you way, but like, okay, you're missing this. Like, and I can just tell that. Right. And you also say that you feel this, right? So Lucas, I appreciate your time. Where do people find you?
Range of Strength. It's all platforms, website, everything. So that's the easiest way to find me. Most people don't know my actual name, but it's Lucas.
I think I grew up with a kid named Jacob. Strength. I think I grew up with a kid named Jacob Hardy. And like, I just kept wanting to say Jacob. So I got Lucas right multiple times, but yeah, dude, you are like the Range of Strength guy. Like that's just in my brain. I'm like, this is the Range of Strength guy, but yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. You're putting out good stuff. I appreciate you following me and liking my stuff. Sometimes the social media game, I was just thinking this before we chat, it's like I've been doing this for 4 years and it's like I just feel like I've just started. I don't know how long like you've been putting out content and stuff, but like it's like I've just started to actually figure out who I am. Like it takes that long, you know, it takes a while.
No, for sure.
So
yeah. And what I love about your content is that you're sharing your training and you know, if anything, like I've learned from just like my own time in it and other coaches as well, like just whatever you're doing and you're figuring out the message and stuff, keep sharing your training because your followers will often move you in that direction anyway. Through that process of sharing my mobility and strength work, it was like the realization that everyone wanted to learn more about mobility from me, right? So it was like then I started really like making sure that I was helping people that were following me for those reasons. And so you figure things out, but like another friend said to me once, like some kind of stat, like 99% of people consume content and 1% make it.
Like, oh,
they're making the content, right? So it's
somebody,
like,
so how this podcast got going is somebody invited me on his and he's like, yeah, this is my first one. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, most people never get past one. And I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like, oh, I bet I can get to two. And this will be 54 with you. So, I mean, it's just like, I enjoy it. This is probably one of the most enjoyable things that I do, is having conversations with people. And honestly, man, so I strained my groin at the beginning of the summer and it's taken a long freaking time. And it's just, muscle strains suck. Groin strains suck. Like, yeah, and I like, definitely. And so, but I honestly plan on reaching out to you as I kind of get back. I'm probably going to do it in the not too distant future and like kind of do what we just talked about. Like, what are some things that I'm missing? Because from a, just like a training, I've never been very mobile, right? I've never been very flexible and I've gotten a lot more flexible just by training. I'm probably going to be reaching out to you in the near future and we'll talk some stuff over. So
my favorite approach to injury and rehab that way is static stretching. I think that's when it comes in the best because it is a very low barrier entry loading point. And when you start thinking of it that way and putting that hat on, you can definitely dial into the sessions more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now you're actually in there loading tissues, spending a lot of time building up the capacity, like in ranges that you just can't get to otherwise because of the injury or maybe the range of motion limitation. So, I mean, if you haven't been doing that, I would just start getting into some static stretching stuff. I can send you some stuff offline. If you just remind me, I'll send you a few stretches.
I'll pay you for it. I like to pay people for their hard work. So I appreciate you, man. I got a tree guy coming. We're having some trees tricked out, and I'm like getting a message like I gotta go talk to this guy. So I apologize, but I would typically go for a little longer. But I appreciate your time. Enjoy your Tuesday.
Thanks, man. Catch up soon.
Peace.
See ya.